You gotta pull up the legacy deck?
Legacy deck.
Are you gonna pull it out? What up and welcome to another episode of Tilted Pod. I'm your host, Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds, and I'm sitting here with my main squeeze, my main man, my werewolf, my cat daddy, my hippopotami, my mousey bow. I don't know what I'm saying. Hey, what up, Daywalker?
What up?
Yo, it's Nate Morris. If you didn't know.
Now you know.
So, we are sitting here talking about magic because it's Tilted Pod, and that's what we friggin' do, okay? We friggin' talk magic, dudes. And we like to start off every week with what we've been doing. So, Nate, take it away.
What have I been doing? Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been playing magic. I finally tested out the Saturday Showdown. That was a super fun time. Played me some green red dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It was pretty sweet.
This is your now. Let's clarify. This is like one of your first standard events in like what?
Oh man,
a couple years,
3 years probably.
That's so amazing.
Okay, yeah, it was a fun time.
Did you take it down?
I did. I took it down. I took first. It was not very big, but still big enough for me to feel accomplished. I won packs, so that's how big it was. Pulled me some promo lands, which are also cool. The deck felt solid though. I'm really excited about this dinosaurs deck. Not a lot of people are on it right now.
No one's on it.
I've been trying to make it my own, trying to figure out where its deficiencies are. And I think I've pretty much, hammered it down. It's just if your big fatty gets removed, you have to wait a whole nother turn to play a whole nother big fatty. And if they have something underneath you, you're probably in a hurt spot. I also found out the deck can't beat Scarab God. So there's that.
Yeah, it's probably a problem then.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah. Well, what did I do this week? I obviously watched some magic. I played a little magic. I played modern. I played with some Monument. Atarka's Monument in modern. I tested against three decks. I tested against Scapeshift, Affinity, and what was the other deck I tested against? Now I can't remember what was the other deck I played against. Scapeshift and Affinity were the first ones. And then I think it was just like green-red land destruction or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
Ponza.
Ponza. And it actually held its own against a lot of decks. You know why?
Well, why is that?
Well, it's because of one card in particular. Can you guess? It's like the best card in the deck. Well, Monument is probably the best card in the deck.
But Wall of Omens.
Yeah, it was definitely because of Wall of Omens, like 100%. That
awesome.
No, dude, it was a Spellqueller.
No, Spellqueller.
Spellqueller was super good. Like,
that's a good
it
card.
It stopped Scapeshift so many times. And then if they didn't have a Bolt, I could just like kind of run them over because they were usually like... I was usually like developing a board big enough to like handle. I'm just always going to lose to that end of the game, So that was cool. I like that.
That's not bad.
It's not a great deck, but it's not awful.
I think any deck can do well in modern right now, though.
I think modern is sometimes like this was the big complaint I had with modern before. Sometimes modern is such a just dice roll. Sometimes it is like who's going first, who's on the play, or. Who draws their sideboard cards.
Right.
It's really... I'm excited to see what Standard is like whenever it pans out a little more to see if there's going to be... I don't know. If it's going to be a little bit more well-rounded, and less of a... Like, any deck can possibly win instead of, like, there's just matches that, like, you're never going to win in Modern. And then there's... But then it's like it's not that great of a deck. You're going to lose to a lot of things, but you can just crush a few other things.
Right. I mean, look at the deck Boggles. You know what I mean? How good has Boggles really been? But it can go to a tournament, and if nobody's prepared for it, just roll over everybody because they don't have, the correct answers. Yeah.
I feel like Boggles is just one of those weird decks that it's so good when you play against it and you're not prepared. You're just, well, why does not everybody play this deck? But when you're beating it, you're just crushing it. I don't feel like there's an in-between. It was, it's just like you're either crushing it or it's crushing you.
Yeah, turn one Thoughtseize, you take Slippery Boggle, and then they have to wait three turns to draw another creature, and you're just like, this deck is awful.
Yeah, it seems really, really bad. So, what happened this week in Magic? Ixalan's out. It's here.
It's out, yeah.
People are partying with it, except they're not.
Except they're not. I mean, if you look at some of the results that we'll get into.
So we're going to talk about the World Championship. Yeah. We're just going to go ahead and talk about it.
Okay,
now.
Let's just get into it.
Since it's, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of information this week. And this seems to be the most, you know, the biggest news. We're going to talk a little bit about this and that this leading into Magic Arena as well. But 2017 World Championship. So Wizards made a choice to show to have the World Championships as like their first foray into Ixalan in a big event instead of the Pro Tour. I'm not 100% sure how well that was met. We're talking about the top pros, 24 of the top pros in the world, who are all obviously going to be on the best deck. You know, they're going to try to pick that. I don't think there's a lot of like weird rant. You know, that community is pretty tight knit when you think about it. You know, there's everyone's kind of talking to everyone. They all know each other. So it's probably really hard to develop a new deck completely and keep it under wraps for this tournament. I'm talking about people on the same team are going to battle at this tournament. And of course, there's a lot of money on the line. I mean, they kept talking about $100,000, you know, so everyone's just going to show up with what they think is already established deck. So I feel like it was kind of poor for the fact that we didn't really see any new cards, man.
We didn't. It was a little bit of a bummer.
Now, it was won by William Huey Jensen.
Which we love. Huey.
Love Huey. I mean, I love a lot of the people in this tournament. As they're all, I mean, they're just the best players, right?
Yeah.
And he was playing Teemer Energy. And what did he have from the new set? I mean,
he had, I think, one or two new cards, and that was it. And I think that they were,
we're talking like some Rootbound Crags, you know?
Lands. It was a playset of Rootbound Crags was the only cards he had from Ixalan.
Yeah, there's really nothing in this. Nothing at all. It's pretty sad, actually. I feel like there's, it just, you know, with this new set, and we're not just talking about a new set coming out and like a small set that didn't have much effect. We're talking about full rotation.
Yeah, and the new set can't even get in. We saw a rotation and 263-ish cards, whatever the set was, like all come in. We saw new lands. We saw big creatures. We saw a little bit of everything, new removal, new counters, and none of it made it into some of these decks. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. I feel like this is like maybe possibly one of the least,
impactful sets we've had.
I've ever seen.
And the crazy part for me is that this is the most fun I've had in Standard because of these new cards from Ixalan.
Right, and I really like the new cards from Ixalan. But so William Huey Jensen took it down with Teemer Energy, but it was followed up by Ramunap Red, which was a very popular choice at this tournament. And I can see that why. I mean, the deck is still good. It didn't lose very much. You know, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's a good deck full of cards that are good. And this, we did see some new cards. Lightning Strike. You know, we got four of Lightning Strike in most of these decks, and that has got to be the most seen, you know, card from Ixalan.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything even close. You know, we've got Shocks of Braids, Lightning Strikes now in your spell suite for the Ramunap Red deck, at least from Javier Dominguez's deck. And I'm pretty sure almost every, like Christian Calcano's deck, also running four Lightning Strikes. I'm pretty sure all of them. It would make the most sense anyways.
Yeah.
So the only thing we had that was a little different, right, was blue-black control. Mm-hmm. And Grixis, a little bit of Grixis.
A little bit of blue-black control.
Well, actually, like one Grixis deck. But same thing. Josh Utterlayton, blue-black control, and Kelvin Chu, both. They ended up piling into a third and fourth finish. Josh Utterlayton, what do you think about this deck?
I think the blue-black control deck looks like a ton of fun for Standard. I think that the concept is really cool. I really like, you know, Scarab God, even though he's ridiculous expensive right now. Torrential Gearhawks are cool. The card in here from Ixalan, Vraska's Contempt, I think deals with a lot of things it probably couldn't deal with otherwise.
Yeah, I do think this is one of the best cards from Ixalan. It also, though, this card, this deck had more, you know, Ixalan cards than any other card, and mm-hmm. that's still not very many.
I really like Search for Azcanta. I think that card's great too.
I think that's cool.
I like that this deck has play sets. I think that that's important for a blue-black control deck, and Standard right now has 4 Fatal Push, 4 Censor, 4 Essence Scatter, 4 Disallow, 4 Hieroglyphic Illumination. Like, just to get some of those repetitive good cards in your hand through Search for Azcanta, or just naturally drawing them, or through Glimmer of Genius, just some, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to get to these cards, and if you don't hit them early, you could die. And so I like that they have repetitiveness now. The land base seems really solid right now for blue-black control. I mean,
yeah,
for any control deck, honestly, just the 4 Evolving Wilds, 4 Fated Pools, 3 Field of Ruins, 6 Islands, 4 Swamps, or 5 Swamps, 4 Drowned Catacombs. I mean, that's a lot of lands coming in untapped. I know that it kind of sucks for the Evolving Wilds to get it down turn 1, but it's not always, you know, sunshine and rainbows and lands, but it's still a very solid deck for the later turns when you're playing all of your lands untapped.
Yeah, I feel like this Field of Ruin card is pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this land. I wasn't like 100% sure on what I thought about that card before, but seeing it in here, it's kind of a cool player or a cool card, you know, like maybe cut somebody's source and also, you know, like, I don't, you might possibly be able to cut one of their red sources, or you could take them off of those, what are those blood, the, you know what I'm talking about.
There's Runimap Ruins.
Yeah,
Ramanap. Sunscorched Deserts.
Yeah. Ramanap. Yeah, Ramanap. Thank you. Maybe take them off of that, you know, which isn't great, but you're both grabbing a land, you know, take them off their scavenger grounds.
Well, I think it also hurts Tamir more than it hurts anybody else. You could really start getting into color troubles with that deck as far as cutting them off of something there, you know, that's important to them. I mean, it's one thing if they get an Aether Hub down, you know, then you have to target it, or they just can continuously tap it for anything.
Right.
But if they're playing, you know, Forest Botanical Sanctum and, you know, Rootbound Craig, you hit that Craig and their red's gone. And that's a big portion of their deck.
Right. So the one version of Grixis by Shota Yasuoka, We're gonna go over the differences here. We've got 1 Nicol Bolas, 4 Ops, which I don't think were in just the blue black version.
No, they were not.
Also, a Braid is our red. Harness mm-hmm. Lightning, Unlicensed Disintegration is a 1 of, and 1 of Hour of Devastation. And then obviously the lands are gonna be changing up with Dragon Skull Summits, etc. There, it's actually running 2 less lands.
This was a very interesting deck for me, to say the least. I was a little confused on 2 less lands and running the Nicol Bolas. You know, they're running 1 less Scarab God and 1 less Torrential Gearhawk.
It's just like they have to cut so many weird things.
Yes.
For, like, how you like the other deck being a lot of 4-ofs. This mm-hmm. one's got so many 3s, 2s, and 1s.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. It's scattered. He's got a lot of ways to find these things with Supreme Will.
But when you're only running 1-ofs, you know, just trying to find it is hard.
Right. I mean, 4 Ops, though, 3 Glimmers and 3 Supreme Wills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're drawing quite a few cards with this deck.
But when you only have 4 big threats to find, I mean, finding a threat could just be a challenge in itself. You're trying to get to that 1 Scarab God, the 1 Nicol Bolas, or the 2 Torrential Gearhawks.
Right. I feel like this game definitely goes long, though. You know? Oh, yeah. And then you also have the search to find your, like, 1 of Disintegration, your Hour of Devastation. I don't know. I like the deck.
I like the deck.
I think I would prefer the blue-black.
Yeah, I think that having 2 Scarab Gods is ultimately the best you can do. I mean, the first one, right now, the card is so hot, it's going to get exiled anyway. I think you want to be at 2. I mean, no more than 2, obviously, because it comes back. There is that recursion. But, I mean, there's just so many ways to get rid of it now. There's the land that exiles the graveyard. There's, you know, Vraska's Contempt. There's Cast Out, which is an instant, exile your stuff.
Essentially.
And, yeah, so it's essentially, I mean, it's an enchantment. Flash. But it can get rid of stuff, you know, pretty quickly. And so I think having the second one to find is ultimately better, because having the second answer is much less likely. They're not prepared for that much. But, I mean, it was an interesting worlds, to say the least. The deck breakdown, or the most played card section, is just incredible. I mean, I don't know that you could write it up any differently, to be honest. It's just all red. The number one played card was a Braid, and it was in 83, you know, percentage of the decks. It was, there were 63 copies of it in 24 decks. I mean, I just think
it's funny that, like, we literally finished talking about every deck already.
We're just done talking about every deck. Chandra
so was... 24 players, and that's it. That was it.
Three decks, we're done. Four decks, technically, with Grixis Control.
Yeah, but, which is basically the same thing we talked about in the blue-black control.
Yeah.
That blows my mind how that's kind of ridiculous.
It is.
And we talked about no cards from the new set.
And this is, I mean, we talked about a couple, but that was it. And this is just the problem everybody had with Standard to begin with. It was just monotonous, and you had to play one of the big three, you know?
But see, I don't think this would have happened if this was a Pro Tour.
No, for sure. I think
we definitely would have seen other decks. I mean, now we're talking about 300 to 400 players.
Yeah.
Right? People are going to be brewing and trying to find ways to break cards.
Mm-hmm.
Where in this, everyone is for sure. I mean, there's too much on the line for this tournament. You can't go into it. I mean, and you would think that for a Pro Tour, but with that many players, they're like, okay, how could I spike it by finding this weird deck?
Yeah.
But for Worlds, right after the set comes out, really, there's just, I mean, what do you
There's
gonna
no
do?
Reason other than to play it safe and play something strong.
Right. I completely don't. I mean, I understand what they're doing. You know, I understand why they would want to do that. You know, come in like this. We didn't even see the Abzan tokens list. We didn't see the Esper gifts list.
There's no dinosaurs.
We have hardly been seeing that anywhere.
Yeah. You know? It was a huge letdown. I will say that when Rivals comes out, I expect dinosaurs to see a major spike. I think that perhaps they were a little soft in the first one. I expect something crazy to come out in the second set.
I kind of wonder if they pushed energy so hard and then dinosaurs can't, like, they were making the dinosaurs and they're like, we can't push them that hard because we just pushed vehicles and then vehicles were super busted. And then we push energy and it turns out energy is just ridiculous. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy alternate cost that I don't think anybody could, I had no clue it was going to be as good as it is. And then, so they're on dinosaurs, and they're like, all right, are we going to make these guys just straight busted? I mean, and I feel like it looked at first, when we were reading the cards, you're like, yeah, these are great. But busted, then you realize that they're not that. I mean, they're just big creatures.
They're big creatures.
They're not doing anything that crazy.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Carnage Tyrant, they're all pretty easy to handle, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. That's all we know about Standard. I will say this. I am excited to see what these cards look like and play like in MTG Arena.
Yeah, that is truth.
So, Arena, you know, we're obviously in the dev stage. We're still in the last development stage. I think the first set of testing of betas are going out, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some developer copies are going out this week, I think.
Yeah.
So they're going to be going over that. They showed some more of it at Worlds. Looks cool. It looks, you know, I'm still on the fact that it looks like Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
Looks, you know, you have more control over things than in Hearthstone. Also seems like a lot of animations. Seems like everything is doing animations.
Well, they want it to look pleasant, too. I think one of the big complaints over the years from anybody who tried to play MTGO is that it's just ugly.
Right.
I mean, your screen is just ugly. So I think they wanted to go over the top with design on Arena and try and pull some of those people in.
So here's a question I have with MTG Arena, though, is I play Magic Online, as you know, but I tried to sell out recently just to see, just to kind of look. Well, there no one's offering any cash prizes anymore. I think a lot of people are scared that their collection is about to plummet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who made a lot of money, or I mean, I don't know about a lot of money, but there's a lot of people who made a living off of buying and selling cards on Magic Online. There's a few stores and companies that were primarily Magic Online oriented. I wonder what they are thinking. Now, again, can't play Modern on MTG Arena. Can't play Legacy. Those are very popular. Well, Modern is a very popular format.
Yeah.
So what? I don't know. You know, no Commander. What's going to happen? Are you concerned with MTGO at all? Like, if you had MTGO cards right now, would you be concerned, or do you think that this is going to be an intro to Magic, but not going to take it over?
I would be, scale of 1 to 10, I'd be probably at a 3 as far as where I would be with my collection on MTGO. And I'll tell you why. It's I don't think that Arena is going to be able to take over the competitive side that MTGO has. Modern is too popular. Legacy is popular to the players who play it, and if they can't play it on Arena, I don't see why they would play. And so I think they will still want to have that outlet to play competitive Legacy events, and I don't think Arena is going to offer that.
The other thing is, like, what about the economy? So my cards, well, up until, you know, recently, were actually worth paper dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, were worth real life credits, if you will, at like for MTGO. Yeah. But Hearthstone, you know, my collection in Hearthstone is worth nothing. It's whatever I put into that collection, that's it's it. Done. You know, I don't ever get anything back out of it unless I try to sell my account on eBay or something for $10. But mm-hmm. I put in, you know, new video games worth, you know, $60 here, $20 there. You know, it adds up over time.
Yeah.
It was a pretty expensive game. And then when sets rotate, you get to dust your cards, but that's it. It's over.
Right.
So I'm wondering, you know, I think once they announce how it's going to be paid for, then people are going to decide whether or not it's even worth investing in. Because at least now, if you buy a Modern or a Legacy or even a Standard deck on MTGO, you know in a couple of months, well, normally,
mm-hmm.
you know that you could just get out of it if you want. You know, yeah. say you come into hard times, you can just sell that bad boy for cash. You know, it's like a real collection.
And I think that's the draw to MTGO for a lot of people is that they can just invest, play, have fun, and then something comes up, they can sell it.
Yeah.
They're more likely to do it.
Yeah, you can also like stream decks now, which is pretty mm-hmm. cool. There's some sites that are doing that where you can basically, like, it's basically renting MTGO decks. I think it's really cool. I'm hoping that I will still be able to get out while I can, but I mean, I'm not getting out completely. I just want to get out of a few things.
Right.
So I don't know, but MTG Arena looks pretty cool.
It does look cool.
At the same time, they unveiled the new logo.
The new logo?
What do you think about it?
I personally like it. I know that it's getting a lot of flack right now.
I just don't think it's that special.
It's not special.
I'm not a very big fan of the Planeswalker symbol already. I don't really like that symbol.
Well, I think I'm on the opposite side. I like that symbol a lot. Do you? Like, I'm all about it.
Yeah, okay. So, see, I never really dug that so much. I think it's cool that they're changing. The thing that I'm just always worried about, though, is they can never change the back of the card.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. as long as that back of that card stays the same, I do not care
what their
logo is, you know?
I agree.
You know, obviously don't make it a hate sign or something like that. Right. But I'm sure they're smart enough business people to not do that.
But if you look at where Magic was and where it is now, I think that the inclusion of Planeswalkers has just made the game better. I mean, it's
definitely changed it.
It's definitely changed it, yeah, for sure. And we could debate whether or not for the good or for the bad, but I think that it's given Magic a story now that people like to follow. The lore of Magic the Gathering is now based around these, you know, Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think that the Planeswalkers helped.
Yeah, because
nobody really knew about Urza, you know, like before. Like, they talked about the Brothers Urzas, but like now I feel like it's so much easier to follow that the actual story.
For sure.
We really dive in. I mean, Jace is a little bit overplayed, but at least they have like a celebrity.
Yeah, and they do overplay some of the Planeswalkers a lot, and I think that that's what gets people upset the most is how many Jaces and Nissas and Chandras and Lilianas we have in comparison to some of these other cooler names that we don't have. You know, like, it's cool to see a Narset every now and then. It's cool to get some of these other niche kind of, you know, Planeswalkers.
Right, I kind of love the out there Planeswalkers.
You know, like, I like Tamiya. Like, the original Tamiya was great. The new Tamiya was okay. Like, it's still cool to play. And to me, like, the new symbol incorporating those Planeswalkers in their logo, I think is cool. And of course, Magic the Gathering got a cool little, you know, font update and some color changes. I don't know, I kind of like it. In case you haven't seen it, listeners, we did post it to our Twitter earlier today. You can check it out at TiltedPod. Tell us what you think. Tweet us. Tweet us. Tell us what you think of the new symbol.
Tweet at us.
Tweet, tweet.
So, man, I think that, like, that's pretty much it for news.
That's it for
so
news.
We're just going to break down what we always break down, and that's decks.
Ooh.
Modern results.
But the thing is,
there hasn't been that many tournaments. So
there hasn't.
We're going straight to challenges. We've got a Modern challenge and a Legacy challenge. So this is going to be a short episode, but here we go. Modern Challenge on October the 7th. This was taken down by a Navajo.
The Navajo.
By a blue red deck that is not Storm.
It's not Storm.
But it is, it'll hit you with a whole lot of pesters.
It'll remind you of that old Splinter Twin deck that you
hated. It will. This is a cool deck, man. We are looking at a blue-red Blood Moon Spreading Seas / Kiki Jiki Deceiver Exarch Pestermite deck.
I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. So imagine Blue Moon
meeting. Yeah, it's kind of Blue Moon.
Meeting Splinter Twin.
Right. Okay, cool. We'll break down the list. Four Snapcaster Mages. Obviously, good card.
Mm-hmm.
Three Deceiver Exarchs. Two Pestermites. There's mm-hmm. our combo dudes. One Karanos. God of Storms. Got to have that in there if you're going to be like the old twin. Two Kiki Jikis. One Gear Hulk. One Burst Lightning. Very interesting choice. I like it. Two Dispel main deck because you got to stick those Kikis. Four Lightning Bolts. Four Serum Visions. One Negate. Four Remand, one Electrolyze, two Cryptic Command, and then our little hate package, two Spreading Seas, three Blood Moon. Lands, there's 23 of them. You know, they're can kind of figure them out.
They're blue-red.
Yeah. And I, what do you think about the main deck? The one of Burst Lightning is kind of interesting to me.
It is. I think that could be a couple different cards. I understand the kicking aspect of it. In case you don't know, Burst Lightning costs one red. If you kick it for four, it does four instead of two. I'm not sure I like it over it's some like a other cards.
Better Shock, but no one plays Shock. And
yeah, no one really plays Shock. I don't know. I mean, I think that Bolt is probably a better choice here for the three damage. Not to mention you can snap Bolt. I also don't hate the red burn spell for two. With split but I mean, second.
They're already playing four Lightning Bolts, so they can't really
play. I mean, I guess that's. I mean, like a Bolt effect. I think.
Oh, like like
Lava Spike or something where it gets
just a straight to the face one though.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what you're wanting to do anyway. I mean, in that situation,
I actually like something like Flame Slash here more.
Okay,
so it's like one mana, four damage to a creature. Yeah. Always, it's a sorcery. I mean, you can't go to the face, but I don't see them paying five to do four to the face. Probably, I guess you can. You have the option.
Yeah,
but I agree. So it's
I think
weird.
That to the face is. Like, I think the major argument we've had in 2017 is what is better in Modern, Fatal Push or Lightning Bolt. And I think that because Lightning Bolt can go to the face, it's a better card. So I always think going to the face is a better advantage in some situations. It's just enough to finish them off, you know? You get in a couple of snap hits, a couple of Deceiver Exarch hits, and a Lightning Bolt, and then all of a sudden you're three damage away from winning the game.
What about like Shard Volley here then instead? I mean, you're going to lose
like
a land, but it's like
like that too.
If you really want to end the game, you can end the game.
Yeah. And considering you got Spreading Seas and Blood Moons going anyway, sometimes those lands don't even matter. I mean, if you have a Blood Moon down and say you play a Desolate Lighthouse, you could Shard Volley that. It's doing nothing anyway.
Yeah. Or so, I mean, something, I guess. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then sideboard, we've got two Engineer Explosives, two Relic of Progenitus, one Vandal Blast, one Negate, one Pyroclasm. I think this card is underplayed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Two Roasts, one Spreading Seas, one Anger, one Is It Staticaster, two Jakes, AOT, and a Pia and Kieran. Pia and Kieran been making their rounds.
Mom and Pop.
Yeah, Mom and Pop have been making the rounds in Modern. The sideboard looks good to me, man. I don't see anything I question too much, mm-hmm. you know? I think that Pyroclasm is a card that just kind of people forgot to play.
Yeah.
They've been forgetting, like, because Anger's there,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we'll play Anger. We need that extra one.
Right.
But sometimes you really just need to hit that two-drop
turn two
wipe.
Yeah.
But you do not need it against Old Eldrazi Tron, which came in at 6-1 at underscore CH1. This is, you know,
Channel One News.
Your Channel One News. This is your standards. I mean, we're looking at the standard Eldrazi Tron list that is still very good.
It's still so good. I mean, this one doesn't have the Warping Whales in the main board.
It does not have Warping Whales. This has the, it has the one Basilisk Caller.
Mm-hmm.
And what? It's running the Ulamog, though.
Yeah.
A Worm Coil, two Inbringers, not the four.
Mm-hmm. And two Karns, three Dismembers, two All His Dust, and the Basilisk Caller. I personally like this build with the Warping Whale in the main board, or at least one.
I kind of like that note too.
Yeah, just to have it for Scape Shift, I think it's just a total blowout if you can pull it off. And I think that this is probably the most, maybe not the most powerful, but the most aggressive deck in Modern, almost as far as playing down big threats. It just gets so big and so out of control very fast.
I was like the most consistent.
Oh, yeah. It's the most consistent.
There's definitely more aggressive decks out there, but this one just it consistently drops. It's like one big threat after the next big
threat. That's what I wanted to say. The most consistent.
And I still think Chalice is just a good card.
Yeah.
Like sometimes Chalice isn't great, but when it's really good, this deck is really good.
Yeah, and I think Matter Reshaper is just an awesome card. I hate playing against it.
Matter Reshaper is the bridge this deck needs.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Thought Knot is quite possibly the best card in the deck. Just as far as just getting you to
some
the next
matchups,
turn.
It is insane. Other matchups, it's like,
right. It's a four-four body.
Yeah. You know? Okay. Cool. Sweet. Congratulations to UCH1 Channel One. Gobbern also went 6-1 with Humans Company, a deck I have not seen in a little bit, but I do like this. We're playing Retreat to Coralhelm combo though with Knight of the Reliquary. What do you think about this deck? It kind of popped up for a while, and then it...
Disappeared.
Yeah, disappeared.
And then popped back up, and then disappeared. I think it's great. I mean, you have so many options as far as how you want to play the game, and I think that being able to change strategies in a couple of turns is also a great advantage for decks. You can be on the retreat plan. You can also be on the grow champion of Parish to a 9-9 and swing lethal plan. I like Tireless Trackers. You get to draw a bunch of cards. Coco is always going to find something good. I think the deck is solid.
Yeah, I think this deck is cool. I think this is... you can just see so many different builds of this deck, right? Mm-hmm. Because as humans, it's essentially just a tribal deck. But this one looks pretty good, right? So you've got to run your eight mana dorks.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your Avacyn's Pilgrims and your Noble Hierarchs. Luckily, all those guys are humans. Then you've got your Champion of the Parish. He's getting pumped constantly. Thalia's Lieutenant, pump your whole team. Thalia Garden of Thraben. You know, Storm is pretty popular. Knight of the Reliquary just gets out of control. You have to deal with that threat, right?
Yeah.
So everything else is kind of go wide. This is like the big go tall. Reflector Mage, I just think good tempo, good value, great off of a Collected Company, still great off of a Collected Company.
Yeah.
Thalia, Heretic Cathar, there's only one of in this deck, but a great card. And then, like you said, the Tireless Trackers, Path to Exile, Collected Company, and Retreat to Coralhelm if you want to combo off. But in the sideboard, there's a couple cool things, right? I think you get something really cool.
I guess.
Unified Will, I think, is super cool.
Oh, okay, yeah. Unified Will, I think, is probably the best card in the sideboard.
Yes, I think it's awesome. Four of Unified Will.
Yeah.
Right? So if you don't know what this is a counterspell that sometimes Merfolk plays. It's one in a blue counter-target spell if you control more creatures than that spell's controller. It is very likely that you are going to control more creatures. I mean, there are 12 one-drops in this deck.
Yeah.
And then a ton of twos and one and threes. Like, mm-hmm. you're not... It's a company deck. There's nothing expensive in here. You're going to play multiple creatures per turn.
Yeah.
So against elves, you're not going to be packing this in because they also might be doing that to you. But almost any other deck, you're gonna be able to stop them from that Anger of Gods or whatever they have that they think they're going to get through. Speaking of stopping Anger of Gods, you've got a little Kithkin, not quite a human, but a Kithkin in Burnton Forge Center, two Aethersworn Canonists.
Mm-hmm.
Two Stony Silence, one more Thalia, two Izzet Staticasters, which is just a great card, and then two, I'm guessing this is the one that you're not so high on.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this guy called? Vithian Renegades?
Vithian Renegades. Okay, so, I like Bant Humans. I like Bant Humans Company. I think that's great. I think the fourth color is now stretching this a little bit. The Izzet Staticaster, I can see being good in situations. I'm not sure that it's worth the splash to get there. Obviously, Goburn has done a lot of testing and knows, you know, more about this deck than I do. I'm looking at it from the outside. And then Vithian Renegades, I just don't think is a card that I would want to be on. It is a 3-drop, green, red, generic human shaman. It's a 3/2, so it's got a little bit of attacking power. And when it comes into play, you destroy a target artifact. I don't know how... much I would want to splash for that card specifically.
Right. I mean, I think it's just the fact that it's a human. You can hit off Coco, as well as, is it Staticaster, also human, you can hit off Coco.
Yeah.
And you already have to have the red in the deck if you want the Keswick Wolf Run package.
Which That's true.
You want.
That's true.
Right. I mean, he's only playing one red card, but he also has two caverns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he also is running Neither Reliquary, which he can easily fetch up lands.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think it's that hard, but I can see where you're coming from, for sure. Like, you don't have, like, there's probably other cards there. Is it Staticaster? I don't know if there's any other card that is quite, that does what that does as well. You know, that card's pretty important, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Vithian Renegades, there's probably a better card. You know, but maybe not, though, since it's got synergies. You know, that's what you gotta...
I mean, it does have synergies.
That's not your style. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard.
All right. So, Gaul Dukat. He's in fourth place here. Well, not really fourth place. He's also had a 6-1 list.
Yeah.
So, and did very well.
This is the deck that I've been trying to brew for a while. He's on a little bit of a different version. But this
It's a little more control-y.
Yeah. This is Esper Gideons.
Less Gideons. You know? Like, I mean, there's still plenty of Gideons here, but it's not... You were running like fours and stuff, right?
Yeah. My 9 Planeswalkers, I was actually at 10. I was running 4 of the Trials, 3 Ally of Zendikar, and 2 Jura. And so that put me at the 9 Gideons. And then I had 1 Liliana of the Veil.
Yeah. So he's running 9 Planeswalkers total. He's definitely cut down. I mean, he's not just like sticking Gideon after Gideon. I think this is probably closer to the way you want to go with it, just because you don't want to get flooded too much.
Yeah.
And having the threat diversity of having some Jace AOTs, some more Lily of the Veils, because obviously we know that card is really good. But yeah, his Planeswalkers are 2 Gideon of the Trials, 2 Veils, 2 Gideon Ally, 2 Jace, 1 Gideon Yura.
I will say that the blue in the main board isn't as impactful. You do get 3 Snapcaster Mages and Jace AOT and Serum Visions and Supreme Verdict. And that's a great suite. And I think that the sideboard is where you really get most of the blue progression for the deck. And so I think that that's something that I might want to play test as well, because I think that there's ways to improve, you know, this style of deck. And I just have to find it. But the sideboard is sweet, man.
I like this deck a lot, actually. Yeah. I think this deck looks really good as a kind of a control. So, well, let's go through the spells real quick.
Okay.
3 Fatal Push, 3 Inquisition, 3 Path, 4 Serum, 3 Thoughtseize, 2 Collective Brutality, 4 Lingering Souls, 2 Supreme Verdicts. I think this looks like a great main spell suite.
Yeah.
24 lands. You're getting them easy with those Serum Visions, etc. And then the sideboard, why don't you go over the sideboard?
It's 1 Collective Brutality, 2 Counter Squall. I like the Counter Squall a lot in this deck, actually. 2 Disdainful Strokes, 1 Flash Freeze, 2 Rest in Peace, which is just a bullet for some decks. 2 Dissension Spheres, I like that as well. There's a lot of threats that you can't handle sometimes. 1 Geist of Saint Trapped, I think this is an interesting pick. I think that Geist as a sideboard card is kind of a no of or a 3 of card, but that's just my personal opinion trying to play with it. 2 Spell Queller, that's probably where I would put the third or the Geist in there, and then 2 Supreme Verdicts.
Yeah, sweet deck.
Yeah, it's a sweet deck, and I'm glad that something like this has popped up and did well in a challenge.
All right, so those are the decks we're going to go fully over, but we are going to talk about a couple of these others. Distinky Pete went 5-2 with Ad Nauseam. Haven't seen, I mean, Ad Nauseam just kind of pops up here and there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's
it just shows up every now and then.
It's a deck that's good. He's got Godhead of Awe in there in his sideboard, which is kind of cool. Flying and other creatures are 1/1s.
Yeah.
Right? So he can just kind of pop that in, 4/4 flyer, just destroy your team.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. Then we've got a black-red. This one is not the Pack Rat deck, but this is the black-red Blood Moon deck. It's the Demigod of Revenge deck.
Mm-hmm.
I think Blood Moon goes really well with Liliana of the Veil.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And Hand Disruption. And Damnation is fine. You know, like...
Yeah.
This is just like a good... some Kalidases, some, you know... You've got a lot of ways and a ton of, like... looting effect, or you know, there's looting and things like that, so I think it's really good. Black red green, this is a Vengevine deck, so this is by Tankinator. Nice.
The tanks.
So this is a Death Shadow, Flameblade Adept, Insolent Neonate, Bloodgast, Vengevine, Hollow One, Street Wraith, I'm sorry, Gurmag Angler, Burning Inquiry, Call of the... What is Call of the Netherworld? All right, we're going to have to talk. What is this? Return... Call of the Netherworld says it is one black. It says return target black creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Madness costs zero.
Well, that sucks for them.
Well, that seems pretty good.
Yeah.
So you're just going to discard that thing to whatever, anything in this deck that you can. Flameblade Adept. Oh, no, that's cycle. You have to cycle a card. Where are all the actual discard effects? Burning Inquiry. Yeah. Return like half the cards, you know. I don't know. This is interesting.
Faithless Looting is probably your
only 18 lands. This is super weird.
Yeah, this is it's weird.
I mean, you can essentially play a turn one hollow 4/4, right? And then possibly, you know, then turn two, you could probably get a Vengevine out, and then you save those Death Shadows with this Call of the Netherworld. So you're discarding Death Shadows until you have low enough life that you can just like pop them back.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty sweet. Your Gurmag Anglers, also, you're going to get those back. Yeah, that's a cool deck. The Burning Inquiry is just a wild card.
It is interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's just so wild. And it could just screw up your opponent so bad. Lightning Axes, Shattering Spree, Collective Brutality, Big Game Hunter, Blood Moon, and Fairy Macabre in the sideboard. Also Grim.
I like those.
Yeah,
it's a cool deck. Big Game Hunter is still a major player in Modern. I don't think people have... I think it's underestimated a lot, and I think that as a black card that costs three with a one madness that you can just destroy some of these big creatures out there is just great.
So in the rest of the tournament, we see some Dredge coming back, which is kind of cool. Some Eldrazi and taxes mixed in with some Eldrazi Tron. If you go, not a whole lot of affinity doing great, some 4/3s, but if you go down to the 4/3 list, there's also a white-red list by Spiderspace, and Spiderspace is a pretty sweet player. He's kind of known for playing the white decks, you know, he's white-green hate bears or death and taxes, whatever you want to call it in Modern.
Yeah.
Also, he was working with Stablo on a list that was like a white... Basically a mono white Eldrazi splashing red, you know, because you already have the Simian Spirit Guides. But here's one. It's a Chalice of the Void Gemstone Cavern deck, but you're running Leonin Arbiters, Thalias, and then Thought Not Seers and Reality Smashers to kind of back it up and put a really quick clock down. So it's not quite like that Eldrazi Taxes list. This is more of a Chalice deck. This is more of a prison deck, but with a very aggressive clock.
Yeah,
I like that, and it's pretty cool that he did well. Or, I mean, he did fine with it. They're not the easiest thing. But this actually has a new card, Settle the Wreckage.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that in Modern?
I mean, we've
brought it up before as far as being a Modern playable. Good. It is, I think that the card that everybody wanted to see for so long was an instant sweeper. And Terminus came out, and everybody's like, instant sweeper has to be super good, you know? And so, and it was in Legacy, for sure. Instant sweeper.
Yeah, but it's only instant whenever you can...
Whenever you can miracle it. But it kind of tamed everybody's, you know, callings for this instant sweeper. And now we kind of have one, and I think it is severely underestimated in the beginning. And as more and more decks are picking it up to play with in Standard and, in Modern as it seems, it's becoming a pretty reliable card.
I really need to play with it to find out, but yeah, I think it's probably pretty good.
The fact that... I think we talked about this last week. The fact that it changes how your opponents deal with combat... is just great because you could have it or not have it and people have to play around it. And I think Jim Davis even had an article about how most people thought he had it in hand all day and played around it all day. And that was just another one of those marginal advantages that he, you know, obtained.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a cool card. Yeah. I like it. I'm glad to see it breaking into Modern.
So I'm going to eat my own words here, Seth.
What's up?
I think that I said that Jund was coming back as the king of Modern.
Yeah.
And there is not a single Jund list.
No, there's no traditional Jund in this list in here at all.
In the Modern
there's challenge. There's not even like an Abzan list. No, they're 4/3. There's God of Slaughter.
Ooh.
But yeah, a little rough there.
So what happened? What do you think happened?
I mean, I think that Jund can be really good and piloted by in the right hands, but yeah. I think that its sideboard options aren't as good as white sideboard options in a lot of lists.
Yeah.
If you notice, there's a lot of either Blood Moon Chalice or white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you need some way to hate out a lot of the riffraff. And I don't know, man. It's I think there's still a place for it, for sure.
Right. Well, let's talk about one thing real quick, and that when Ixalan came out, everybody was super pumped on Ripjaw Raptor. They thought this was going to be definitely a standard staple.
And Registar Alpha.
And Registar Alpha. Everybody thought it was going to be a standard staple, and it could break into Modern in some aggressive decks.
Possibly as, you know, a 4-5 and or drawing a card.
Jun's one of those decks that has that spot available. We've seen Huntmaster, Olivia, Kalidus. You know, that 4-drop spot has always been available. What do you think about Ripjaw Raptor and Jund?
So I guess you could play it with Olivia.
Yeah.
And then just like ping it
for cards.
And like pump your Olivia, make it a vampire, and just draw cards every turn for 2 mm-hmm. mana. You know, you could do that. That's
yeah, kind of cool. I mean, it's got some synergy.
I could
to
see
it.
That, but then you're fighting with its 2 mana slot.
Yeah.
Or with it, I mean, with the 4 mana slot, because if you're playing Olivia, you only have so many other 4 mana slots in your deck.
Right.
I think it possibly has potential. Anything that says draw cards, I think has potential in right. any format.
Almost. And I think that's how Jun wins a lot of its games, is just out attritioning you as far as, you know, card draw and, you know, hand disruption, stuff like that.
Right.
And it seems like a card that would fit right in with that kind of deck style.
Yeah.
It's just finding a way to abuse it.
All right. We are going to talk a little, I mean, that's all the Modern we had, really.
That's it.
I would break down this Legacy Challenge, but I don't really think we're going to. I will say this, Eldrazi Stompy starts showing up again, but there's nothing on here that, like, okay, we're going to talk about the 6-0 list, actually. It's Dredge. Haven't seen Dredge on here in a long time, in MTGO especially. It is a very cheap deck online, $72, right?
Yep.
You could be playing Legacy Dredge. It beat, you know, all these very expensive decks on there. Mm-hmm. It's a great deck. It randomly just smashes. But just congratulations to Savok, however you say that, for taking this deck down with Dredge. And if you guys have never played Dredge in Legacy, it is so much more fun than it is playing it in Modern. I mean, this is it's not even the same deck. You know, they're very different, actually, when it comes right. down to it. And I suggest trying to sleeve it up. Like, just try to, like, just mess around with it, you know? There's got to be somebody in your area that plays a little Legacy. Just sleeve up some Dredge and see what happens. You know, proxy it out. You don't need a lot of crazy lands, right? You got things like, you don't even have to play lands. Oh, never mind. This was straight up manaless Dredge.
Yeah, manaless Dredge.
This wasn't even, like, regular Dredge, like Lion's Eye Diamond Dredge. This is manaless Dredge.
Yeah.
With no LEDs. So yeah, this deck is wild, dude.
I think it's great. I think the sideboard's great. I think this deck's great. It's cool that Surgical Extraction is probably the most expensive card in it. Like,
Actually, like, Surgical Extraction is the only reason this deck is worth anything online.
Yeah, Surgicals and Bridge from Below. That's the only reason why this deck is even under or over, you know, $200 in paper.
Yeah,
let alone online, you know.
Yeah, online, it's, yeah, there's, I mean, this deck costs nothing if you don't play Surgical.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just sleeve it up. Just try it. It's super fun, and then you can kind of break into a format that we need more people playing, honestly. I mean, it just needs some people playing it, and you don't have to have the most expensive deck. Like, you don't need to play lands right away, you know. Right. Just try to get in there with something else, and you'll grow. If you like it, it'll grow, and you'll expand your collection by, you know, you just move on through Standard into Legacy, or right. from Modern into Legacy.
For sure.
If people in your area play.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a very important part. But I think that's going to be it.
That's it.
This week, man.
We're donezies.
Yeah, so like always, join in on the conversation at TiltedPod on Twitter. And I hope that you guys have a really good week.
Oh, wait, hold on.
What?
We got to give away some packs. I forgot. I promised to give away.
Okay, what's that?
So
how are we going
to
do it?
What do you want to do? You want to get somebody to tweet at us? I like that. They tweet at us, tell us a fun story.
Yeah, give us some bad beats.
Yeah, bad beats or a favorite card from Ixalan.
Okay, either one or both.
Either one or both.
Or both, yeah. The winner gets like 5 packs.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Sweet, guys. All right. That's our time. So, from Seth, Jack Wilds, whatever the hell my name is, and the Daywalker,
Nate Morris.
We out. Peace. Ah!